Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? It's the Locked On NHL Podcast, your Eastern Conference edition. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. Mike, are you finding it challenging creating content as we are basically just buying time waiting for the NHL season?
Yes, there is absolutely nothing going on, especially in hockey. Like, I legitimately just go, I went on The Athletic trying to look for something to talk about, went on The Score, ESPN.com, TSN, just looking for stuff to talk about when I was doing my shows. And luckily, there was a little bit of a news dump yesterday, though, and we were able to talk about some stuff. Gary Bettman coming out, talking about a potential return to play and what that could entail. So that was exciting. There was finally something to talk about, and I'm sure we'll touch on that a little bit later in this episode.
Yeah, we'll get on a bunch of stuff that came out in the last couple of days on today's episode. We're at Locked On Sabres. I mean, we are basically, we're creating teams based on nationalities.
I saw that, and I might steal your idea. I might try to be like a Team Europe, a Team USA, Team Canada for the Maple Leafs. And I might have to do a week where I just pick a Europe, USA, and Canada and go with it.
It was really fun to build, so I would definitely recommend it. Yeah, because we're trying to do four teams, and we're trying to figure out how to do it. Like, all right, should we do like a Team Scandinavia, or should we do two Team Canadas? Because Canada's just so loaded, I would imagine, for every team, not just the Sabres. But, you know, the Sabres having the French connection, like three of their best forwards ever being from Quebec, and then, like, oh, you got Danny Briere, too, and Pierre Turgeon. Like, we're going to go Team Quebec. Like, we're going to go Team Quebec, and then we're going to go Team Rest of Canada, Team Europe, and Team USA. And that's been very fun to do. We're going to be simulating those games on NHL 20. So now we are in, we've been buying time, I would say, longer than you guys. You had the benefit of, you know, the playoffs when you guys were in it and preparing for that. The Sabres haven't played a game in, what, has it been 8 months now? I think it's been 8 months. So it's becoming normalized for me. It's just like no games, but we got to find something to talk about. Let's just keep rolling. But like you said, league-wide, there is stuff to talk about. So Owen
Power.
I'm going to cut that out. Thank you. Owen Power, University of Michigan, and Team Canada World Juniors. There's something going on there, so we're going to talk about that. You've got Gary Bettman making comments on the potential start of the NHL season. We'll get into that. Mike has got trivia for me, some Canadian hockey trivia, in response for me hitting him with some U.S. hockey trivia last week that he killed. I think you went like 9 or 10 right before you ended up making a mistake. So the bar is raised high for me today. And then you've got some uniform stuff. I know the Sabres reverse retro uniforms that Adidas is putting together will be released officially on the 16th. So I'd imagine in the next week, we are officially going to see a retro uniform with different colors than they would originally have had, released by Adidas and the respective clubs. Adidas released about a 30 to 45 second teaser, promo video, whatever you want to call it, yesterday, with the back of these uniforms for every team, and then the number or the year associated with that uniform. So, for example, the Sabres were a 00, which is leading everybody to believe that they will have a blue and gold version of their old red third jersey with the crossing swords they used to have when they wore black and red as their color scheme. So, like the Leafs, for instance, 70 with its blue and gray. I think that that's maybe going to mean that they're going to go back to, what would you call the logo? It's like, it's more rigid, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of a similar leaf, but the cutout's different. I don't know how to explain it. I'm terrible. Like, I'm literally looking at it right now. I'm like, I don't even know how to explain this jersey to people. Maybe rigid is the answer to use. Yeah,
I don't know how to either. Like, how do you, I guess you could, like, for instance, I think of these Sabre red jerseys, like these are the Miroslav Chatan jerseys. So I don't know if there's a player that sticks out. I thought Wendell Clark, but I guess Wendell Clark didn't wear them. So I'm definitely not going to be helpful on this.
Wendell didn't really, he wasn't playing the 70s, right? So
no, 80s, I think would have been.
Yeah. I wasn't born. So.
Same. Let's talk about some of the other ones around the league, though, that we are seeing. I, in particular, if any stand out to you, feel free to throw it in. It's like, oh, that, I wonder what that's going to be. But there are two teams that I want to throw out there because they might be in ready to use logos of teams that preceded them. So, for instance, Minnesota has 78. It's a white uniform, gold numbers, green stripes, and green on the shoulders. So 78 Minnesota, I mean, obviously them being an expansion team in 2000, you would think that's going to be, is it going to be the Minnesota North Stars logo? And then in turn, you've got Carolina, who's got 79 in green. So it's definitely, I would think, either going to be Hartford Whalers, or maybe they do something with the Hurricanes logo in green, although I think that'd be so weird. And then right next to them, there's Colorado, 79, and 79 is when the Quebec Nordiques entered the NHL. So how do we feel about those three teams potentially using logos of teams that preceded them?
I love it. Shake it up a little bit. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then a couple of other ones real quick. Vancouver, 2001. I'm very excited about that one.
That one, I think I would say is the one I did see what that could look like.
Yeah.
And that one is probably one that I'm a fan of. I was a little bit on the fence over it, to be honest, at first. But then I remember, actually, so funny story about those specific jerseys. So I grew up like a Canucks fan, and like the gradient jersey that they're using.
Yeah.
So funny story how I acquired one when I was a child. I remember being at the mall and we were just walking through and we were walking by the jersey store and I saw it. I was like, oh, Dad, I want that. And he's like, no, we can't get that. Well, maybe for Christmas or something, for your birthday. It's like, okay, all right, fine. And then you remember like those 50-cent pull things that you gamble, like the pull game, where you get like the cherries.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. So my dad like stops off. He's like, if I win, I'll buy you that jersey. Sure enough, he pulls, wins $200, and I start celebrating. We go all the way back down to the jersey store and I get myself that jersey. And I still have it to this day. It's obviously way too small for me. I was like 7. But I still remember that day like it was yesterday, because it was just such a great moment. I think it was pretty much like my first jersey that I ever actually got to.
That's an insane story. I too, like as a kid, I liked that uniform. It was probably the gradient that like made it stand out, or like for kids would have made it look cool.
But I might have to get a Canucks one. I might have to get one this year, because they're going to do like the green and blue as opposed to the red and blue that they did before.
Yeah. I think it'll look sharp. I think of those uniforms as like, that's when Mark Messier was on the Canucks, which did not go well for them. But
West Coast Express. That was my
West Coast.
That was my jam.
All right.
Todd Bertuzzi, Marcus Naslin, Brandon Morrison, Ed Jovanovski, all those guys.
That actually be about at the same time, so maybe I do remember that. All right, those ones we're both excited for, so we'll see. We'll get more uniform knowledge, I guess, in the next week when these things start getting released officially. How about when these uniforms might actually be seen on the ice? We need to know when they're going to play, first off, for that to happen. Gary Bettman, in a story yesterday, talking to NHL.com's Nicholas Kostanica, he still says that the NHL is targeting a January 1st start date for the 2021 season. And like, I don't know, like, I guess like I continue to shoot for it. That makes sense. But you're less than 2 months out. And at some point, I feel like if that's going to become realistic, January 1st, they're going to have a concrete plan in place in the next week or two.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They do need to get going on a plan. But I mean, if the NBA is starting on December 1st, why can't the NHL start on January 1st?
Yeah, I know there are different dynamics with the NBA to the NHL in terms of ice and everything, but there's not like a specific, you know, difference that would make me think, oh yeah, like this is why they should be able to start more than a month sooner than you. So that's right. That's right. Maybe the one thing I might want to point to is the NHL and NHLPA having a longer history of labor issues between the two sides, whereas the NBA, usually it's pretty smooth. But that being said, I can't really put that on the NHL, because this last go around for the restart for last season, I mean, they killed it. Like, they were right out the gates, and like, the negotiations didn't take that long. They didn't really disagree on a whole lot, it seemed like, and they were good and ready to go. So I don't think I would want to just assume that there's going to be issues on that front. They don't want to play less than a 48-game season either. I'm okay with that, right? I mean, you've got the Olympics in the summer, but...
Yeah, they want to be done before the Olympics. I think that's the biggest thing. So I don't think we're going to see like a 72-game slate or 68 games. I think anywhere from 48 to maybe as high as 55 games if they want. But a 48-game slate, they have... There's precedence for it, right? Back in 2013, when they had the lockout shortened season, they really just have to take that year and replicate it this year. It wasn't because of a lockout, it was because of a pandemic, and it's unfortunate. But in order to be done, you know, the regular season by April, which is what Commissioner Bill Daley said he wanted to have, and then also have the playoffs be finished up before the summer starts so that they're not competing with the Olympics. And the other thing you have to think about with the Olympics is, who owns the Olympics rights? Pretty sure. Is it not NBC? So NBC, yeah. And NBC also owns the hockey rights. So how are they going to be able to cover both? They're really not. Yeah. And you know that they're going to pick the Olympics over NHL playoffs, which means the NHL is not going to make any money during their playoff stint during the Olympics. So they're going to want to be finished there. And even in Canada, CBC owns our Olympic coverage here, which also owns a lot of our playoff hockey coverage. So that's another reason why they want to get done before the Olympics. And also because they're starting in 2021-2022 season, the Seattle Kraken is coming in as an expansion. I think they want to give them a fair shake and have them come in and just start that 2021-2022 season on time so that they don't have to worry about, trying to get the schedule back on track, you know, because year after year, trying to move it back a little bit by little bit, just have a 48-game season, have the season finished by mid-June like any other year, and be ready to go for 2021-2022. The Seattle Kraken come in, and then hopefully you got your schedule back on track.
All great points, and I think that's right. Like, eventually, you're going to want to reset your calendar back to the way that it's been October through June or whatever the Stanley Cup final would end up being wrapped up. And to get back to that calendar, you were, one, either going to have like the shortest offseason ever, or two, you were going to have an abbreviated schedule at some point. So, you know, to do that now and kind of get that part of it out of the way and get yourself back on the right calendar, plus with the Olympic part that you mentioned too, like, I think that this is probably what we're in store for. The most interesting thing Bettman said, though, was probably on division alignment. And I know George McPhee, the Vegas Golden Knights owner, said a couple of weeks ago that there's going to be a Canadian division, and maybe it wasn't finalized at that point. McPhee sometimes says stuff on the radio that, like, hey, maybe this isn't 100% done, but I mean, at least you'd think it's something that's being talked about. Bettman says, quote, obviously we're not going to move all seven Canadian franchises south of the 49th parallel, so we'll have to look at alternative ways to play. And there's nothing that I've seen as of late that makes me think that teams are going to be able to freely go back and forth across the border. So, Mike, I think we are in store, maybe, for an all-Canadian division.
I blew that too, just quickly. Bill Foley, not George
McPhee. Bill Foley, thanks.
Bill Foley, yes. Yeah, the owner of the Vegas Golden Knights came out and said that. But yeah, I think we're actually going to see it myself as well, and it kind of makes sense. He also mentioned something about just doing kind of mini hubs for like a week or two and then moving on and playing elsewhere, or, you know, week on, week off. I don't know if that's really going to work, but that was another thing that was incorporated in this article. But in terms of an all-Canadian division, that gets me excited. I mean, it's always massive ratings hits, massive ratings boosts when it's an all-Canadian matchup, whether it's, you know, Toronto versus Montreal or even Toronto versus Vancouver. Ottawa and Calgary even can draw. So it's going to be really good to just watch all of it. And, you know, from a selfish Toronto perspective, we don't get to see Connor McDavid as often as we'd like because we only play him twice a week, right? Or twice a year. And same for you with the Buffalo Sabres. Now, you won't be able to do that this year, obviously. But, you know, in any other year, I'm sure you would gladly sign up to be able to watch him 5 or 6 times a year, and that's what Toronto's going to be able to do with this All-Canadian matchup. Same thing with Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, going to be able to see them a lot more. Mark Scheifele out in Winnipeg, I love him as a player, and I'm excited to be able to watch him play a lot more this year. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited for this All-Canadian division if it does, in fact, come to fruition.
Yeah. If I were the Sabres and I got to choose, I'd want to be in the Canadian division because, yeah, it's more interesting opponents, the McDavid part of it. There's so many star players right now playing on the Canadian team. It's like, oh, I don't get to play Matthews and Marner this year. I don't get to play McDavid and Dreisaitl. I don't get to play Scheifele and Patrick Laine. Montreal is always a marquee opponent. My favorite uniforms in the league. So, yeah, like that will be something missing for hockey fans in the U.S. But again, I think that it has to happen, and I think that it makes sense, and I think that that's probably what we're in line for, assuming that, you know, we don't get a drastic change in the world and the environment that we live in the next 6 months.
Quick question, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Does Buffalo have a fierce competitor?
You mean like a rivalry?
Yeah, is there a rivalry, like, outside of, I guess you could say, Toronto for the border battle? But, like, is there a legitimate rivalry for Buffalo?
I don't really think right now there is. I think that right now we have the most fun with Toronto because... And only because when they come down and they fill up our building. And, like, it's kind of sad to say that, like, that happens, but it does. You know, and really think about the situation that Sabre fans sometimes face in the last 5, 6, 7 years, where you buy season tickets and they're so expensive, and you get to late in the season and like you're so disgruntled and the team stinks, and like you can't even sell your tickets on the secondary market to make up for it because they're bad and nobody wants them. They're going for like $9 on secondary sites. And then here come the Leafs, and it's like Toronto fans are willing to pay triple, you know, a lot of times what Sabre fans are willing to pay. So it's like I can't really criticize season ticket holders that are doing that.
And that's still a discount from what you would pay in Toronto.
Right. 1 second. Alexa, off. And then once you get into that building, and then the atmosphere is like times 100 because the Leaf fans are kind of getting you into it. Like, I think Toronto's the closest thing you'd have right now. But again, that is part of the circumstances of the Sabres being bad and the proximity with Leaf fans coming down. I think, though, if you pinned me down and said, like, it's more of like a, like, if I make an NFL comparison, it's a Buffalo Bills to New England Patriots type rivalry where the other side doesn't really care about you, but you hate them because they've just been beating you for a decade. So to me, I think Sabre fans most would tell you it's the Boston Bruins. And I think, you know, most people, right? That most people don't like the Bruins. Like, they're always the bullies, and they're always good, and they're always obnoxious about it. Boston fans are sometimes. So I think I would have to say the Bruins. But again, like you said, like, they don't really have a traditional rival right now.
Y'all should start a huge hatred with Florida Panthers fans and just have you two bottom-dwelling teams fight over each other for the basement of the Atlantic Division. No offense.
It's amazing that that's a divisional opponent, isn't it? Yes. A divisional rival, Florida and Buffalo. Gotta love it. It really made sense when they did that. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano here in the Locked On NHL podcast. All right, one more news item to get to before we do this trivia that you got for me. You've got University of Michigan's Owen Power not being released to his Canadian junior select team, which had its camp, I believe, this last week. Mike, like, you were the one who brought this up to me. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, so the camp's actually coming up on the 16th, and the University of Michigan head coach is not releasing him to Team Canada. He's said no. And to me, I don't really understand why. Like, why is it his option to say no? Like, shouldn't this be on Owen Power to be able to go? Like, this is a kid who could arguably be a top pick in this next NHL draft. He's a big right shot defenseman, and I the only explanation could possibly be that, you know, he contacted Hockey Canada and said, what are the odds of him making it as a very young 17-year-old defenseman? And he could have, they could have said, well, not much, but we still want to get a look just in case. And he said, well, we don't want to take him away from our team. He's a valuable member of our club. So if he's not a good shot to make the team, we'd rather just hold on to him. That could very well have been the case. That being said, I still believe that it should have, the final decision should have been with Owen. Like it's not very often you get a chance to represent your country, especially at such a young age of 18 years old. Why doesn't he get the opportunity to do it, or at least have a chance to do it? Because you would know how special it would be representing America, mm-hmm. just like every Canadian dreams of you know, donning the Canadian sweater for the World Juniors. Like, before you even think about the Olympics, you kind of think about, yeah, I'm going to be a World Junior champion first. That usually happens before you become an Olympic champion. I just really was upset with the fact that. For very selfish reasons, it seems like the University of Michigan is taking away a potential opportunity for Owen Power.
Do we think that this is like crossing the border related? Like, I would imagine Team Canada holds their camp in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, that could be it. Just the fact that he didn't want him to miss significant time. But that being said, I don't quote, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but when it comes to America, like, is there strict rules in place for when people are crossing over the border? I'm not too sure.
I do know that if you go into Canada from the US, you have to quarantine for 14 days. Now, that would not impact, well, I guess it would impact University of Michigan in that he would miss 2 weeks before that. But again, like, yeah, you're missing 2 weeks of games. College hockey schedules usually are not that jam-packed. So what is that, three games he'd be missing? Extra?
Yeah, and then if he makes the team, he's missing another little bit. Like, it'd be a large chunk of the season. But, I mean, this happens every year. Every right. single team, like, a good majority of the American junior team is made up of NCAA players. They're going to have to be dealing with very much the same thing. Even some Canadians are playing down in the NCAA, and they've been loaned out to Team Canada. So it just doesn't make sense why the coach decided not to loan out. I mean, it makes sense, but I just don't think it's fair that he had the last word and potentially could have said, like, well, you could go, but there would be some supplementary discipline, like potentially getting your scholarship revoked since you're not going to be playing with us for at least a month if that's the case.
I did not know this, so I'm looking right now. University of Michigan's schedule, they're playing a reduced schedule, I guess. Maybe that's happening with all of NCAA hockey teams. I don't know. I'm not well-read on that enough to tell you for sure. But their first game is November 14th against Arizona State. Their last game is on December 9th against Minnesota. And if I'm reading this right, Hockey Canada's training camp is November 16th through December 13th.
Yeah, so it'd be the whole season.
It would be the whole season. But that being said, still, like, I hope they left it up to the player. Because
based on what Hockey Canada sent out, their little press release, it doesn't seem like it was left up to the player, because it didn't say that we were speaking with, you know, the Power family. It was Michigan is not releasing this player.
And that I don't like, because if the player would rather play for, and I imagine that that's a definite possibility, that the player would rather spend this season, this fall, getting ready for and playing in the World Juniors than playing his season at University of Michigan, like, that should be his right to do that. And if that option got taken away from him, or that choice did, then I don't like this.
And I think, again, just to kind of play devil's advocate on my own little point that I was trying to make here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he has a good shot to make the team. Not a lot of draft eligible players make the team, let alone defensemen. Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, I think that the coach kind of had somewhat of a leg to stand on to say, look, if he's not going to make the team and you just want to bring him there just for your own sake of giving him experience for next year, I really would rather have him for our season as opposed to having him not play at all for us in his rookie year, especially if he potentially could end up leaving in the draft after his freshman year and end up playing in the NHL next year, should that happen. You know what I mean? So selfishly, like, I understand it from a Michigan perspective. I really, truly do. But I still think that it should have been up to the player to make that decision, not the coach.
We'll be back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast in 1 second. First, you know, day by day, there are several walls that you've got to get through. And for me, that's, you know, getting ready for a show or getting up and having enough energy to do a workout, or you got something around to do housewise. Built Go is really what you want. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. Easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. Your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. I am somebody that drinks no sugar energy drinks all the time. I was drinking two a day. Don't Google what those things do to you. those sugarless energy drinks. I'm on to Built Go now. Three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. Visit BuiltGo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. All right, you've got some Hockey Canada trivia for me?
Let's do it. Speaking of Hockey Canada and Team Canada, World Juniors, the next step from the World Juniors is the Canadian Olympic team. And I'm going to see how many members of the 2010 gold medal Canadian Olympic team you can remember. We're a decade away.
Yeah, that team, that game, the gold medal game, USA and Canada, I'm not sure I've ever been close. I mean, the Sabres had two teams make the conference finals in 2006, 2007. But next to those two teams, like that game, I was into it as much as any hockey game in my life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was fantastic, right? And then you had the Americans tie the game, bring it to overtime, and then, you know, the golden goal to win it all. It was just such an amazing hockey game. It truly is one of my greatest sports memories of all time. You may have a different opinion of that game, but us up here in Canada, it truly is ingrained in our minds at all times. Like, I can just recall it at all times, and just, you know, the call, it, just everything, seeing Crosby chuck his stuff up into the air and everybody jumping in and celebrating. Yep. Such a great moment. So I already gave you one technically, but let's see how many players from this team you can name. So there are 22 members on this team. Let's see how many of them Joe DiBiase can get.
I would like to be able to get to double digits without making a mistake. Like, I feel like I should be able to do that. All right, Crosby is one. You already gave me that one. It would have been brutal if I didn't get him anyway. I mean, right? I'll knock out the goalies here. It was Marty Baron. Slipped up there already. Marty Brodeur and Roberto Luongo.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the two goalies. There was a third goalie. I might come back to that. I don't want to guess. I feel like it's Carey Price, but I don't want to make a mistake yet. Let's go. Corey Perry was on this team.
Yep.
Okay, Ryan Getzlaf was on this team.
Yep.
Okay, I'm trying to think if there is a Team Canada that includes Chris Kunitz, and I want to think it's the next one, not this one. So I'm going to hold off on that guess. I started thinking defensemen. Who were great Canadian defensemen in 2010? We are at... Ooh, the defenseman part is tougher than I thought it would have been. Let me go back to forward. Is Patrice Bergeron on this team?
He was a young 24-year-old Patrice Bergeron.
Okay, I was cutting it close there, maybe.
It's so crazy looking at the ages of these players. and think about like these are guys who are starting to retire now or are on their last legs, and they're like 24, 25 years old. You got a couple of oldies at 30 years old, the oldest being Brodeur at 37. You got a couple of really old defensemen in their 30s, mid-30s here that were on their last legs.
This is not that guy. This is not one of those guys, but what about Shea Weber?
He is on that team, 24-year-old Shea Weber.
Okay. Older defensemen. They were in their mid-30s on the team, is what you're saying.
Yes, and they may or may not have won a Stanley Cup together a couple years prior.
Won a Stanley Cup together a couple of years prior. This is where I need – I'm going to pull up the NHL standings because I just need to look at a list of teams, and then that should help me out. Who – oh, Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook.
Well, they won a couple years after, but they were on the team.
Okay.
So that is correct.
That makes sense. They wouldn't have been in their mid-30s then. They're in their mid-30s now. Scott Niedermayer.
Yeah.
And Chris Pronger.
Yep.
Okay. I feel like that's most of the blue line. I also feel like I might have gotten to 10, but I haven't made a mistake yet, so I want to keep going. How about Danny Heatley?
Danny Heatley was on this team. Ooh. It was probably the last good thing that Danny Heatley ever did as a hockey player. He just plummeted in his career.
Yeah, it got bad quick. He was born in Germany, too. I knew, though, he played internationally for Canada. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I had 7 points in 7 games in the tournament, though. So he was
that's pretty good. Player.
But he was on a specific line that year. Who were his line mates?
Okay, I think he's on San Jose there. So Joe Thornton's on this team.
100%.
And
a lot of Maple Leaf Joe Thornton.
Right. Completely forgot about that. And I'm going to say so is Patrick Marleau.
Mm-hmm. Former Toronto Maple Leaf Patrick Marleau.
Okay, I'm still going here. Jesus.
Let's see how far you can go. You name the whole team.
Let's continue going with former and current Toronto Maple Leafs. Jason Spezza.
No Jason Spezza.
Really? Okay.
No. Jason Spezza. I don't know if Jason Spezza's ever made an Olympic team. I don't believe he has. This would have really been his only year to do it.
That's what I would have thought, because I remember him on like early in Ottawa. Like, he was incredible.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe he came in
06. He could have been on the 06 team. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I'll go back and look after we finish this.
Okay.
Let me think if there's a couple more.
I know a guy that, like, maybe his legacy will be how good he played for Team Canada at times. Rick Nash.
That's what I was about to say. Former number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Rick Nash. Now, you still have yet to name the player who had his name called out pretty emphatically, who assisted on the game-winning goal.
Oh. Assisted on the game-winning goal. On the broadcast, his name was called out emphatically?
No, by Crosby. Just yelling to him as he jetted to the net, trying to get him to the puck as quick as he could.
Oh, I don't know if I know who makes this pass.
Oh, man, you haven't watched this enough, eh?
I guess no, you're right.
It's not as much as a good feeling moment for you than it is for me.
No.
Ryan Miller.
I'm Claude Giroux.
Surprisingly, Claude Giroux was not on this team.
Okay.
Actually, that's not that surprising. He's only like a couple of years into the league at that point.
Yeah, that's right.
But there is another former Flyer on this team.
Brad Richards. Jeff Carter. Jeff Carter.
I was going to say, I don't think Brad Richards ever played for...
I also meant Mike Richards. So Brad Richards is like the worst guess ever.
Jeff Carter is incorrect. Mike Richards, though, is correct.
Okay.
So Mike Richards did make the team.
That was if I was doing well, that little trio of whatever was a disaster.
It's funny. Mike Richards, just like Danny Heatley, really took a nosedive in his career shortly after this tournament.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've
pretty much got the whole team. I mean, you're missing. Let me see.
Shane Doan wouldn't have made it, right?
one, two, three, four, five, six. You only have six left.
Drew Doughty.
A 20-year-old Drew Doughty did make this team.
Okay.
20 years old as an Olympian. That's insane.
I'm looking at a list of teams now, so this is helping. But Jerome Iginla.
That's the name that was called out by Sidney Crosby.
Iginla.
Iggy, as okay. He went hard to the net. I would be surprised if you guessed
the other ones.
You could get one, maybe two more, but these other two, I probably would not guess them because I do not associate them as Team Canada members. Although they did.
Why don't you play. Give them? Why don't you give them to me? Because we're right. Running short on time too.
You're right. So Jonathan Toews is one you should have gotten.
Should have 100% got.
You should have got Jonathan Toews. Eric Staal is another one.
Buffalo Sabre.
Buffalo Sabre, Eric Staal, and that was actually going to be my hint to you. And then these two are ones that I doubt you would have gotten, Brendan Morrow and Dan Boyle.
Okay, yeah, those would have been tough. I mean, like, you say them, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But, like, yeah, I would have never guessed them in a million years.
No, me either.
All right, that's Team Canada. I'm going to have to have Mike guess that Team US team now.
Zach Parise, really... Ryan Kessler, Ryan Miller.
Brian Rafalski is always Brian the first name I think of for that team for some reason. I think actually I know what it is. I played defense as a kid and I was short. So I always think of guys in the league that were short defensemen like Brian Rafalski. So
Zach Parise
scores the goal with like 25 seconds left to tie it. Or maybe it was more than that, but it was under a minute.
Yeah. So. Yep.
All right, some good trivia. We'll have more next week. We'll have uniforms, I think, to talk about next week, too, officially, we hope. And maybe we'll get a few more signings. We got some stragglers left in free agency, so we shall see. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the Locked On NHL Podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.